we played Leverkusen in the weekend.
Yes.
And then Barcelona a couple of days ago.
Yeah, the Leverkusen match was interesting because in the first half especially, Leverkusen likes to play a very possession-based football game. They like to control the possession, control the tempo. And typically, Dortmund try to do that as well. I think going into the match, Dortmund and Leverkusen were both the top two possession teams in the Bundesliga. So there was a lot of anticipation to see who was going to outpossess who in this past weekend's matchup. And then for Dortmund to willingly, I feel like it was more so like part of the game plan to like sacrifice the possession for getting numbers back offensively and defensively instead of pressing all the way up the pitch. I felt like we played more of like we didn't drop back necessarily, but we were more selective when we pressed. You know, we waited for the right moment to press. We waited till they were caught out of position. And then once we did press, we got a lot of guys on the ball quickly and were able to force a lot of turnovers. Or if Leverkusen were able to get near the box, they weren't like in the first half, I don't think Leverkusen had a shot from inside the box. I think all of their shots, a lot of them came from Bellarabi. He was just settling for shots outside the box that really were not a challenge for Berkey at all. I think only one of them found the target. And on the flip side, Dortmund, we were generating a lot of high quality opportunities in and around the box. And we were really making it difficult for Leverkusen to figure out how to play us because we didn't have a lot of possession. But when we had possession, we got a lot of guys forward quickly and we got our opportunities quickly. Like, we made great use of the possession. I think you and I had talked about it. It looked a lot like Jurgen Klopp 2012 Dortmund, where teams, you know, they might beat us in possession, but they wouldn't beat us necessarily in the quality of their possession. They would spend so much time just possessing the ball, but they wouldn't spend much time getting into the box and getting good scoring chances because defensively we were very disciplined. And I think this past weekend looked a lot like that again. I mean, defensively we looked phenomenal. I think Mats Hummels, between Barcelona and Leverkusen, had his two best games so far this season with Dortmund. I really like that he was able to play well. I think Hakimi looked really, really good as well. I like what I saw from both Brandt and Hazard. They kind of offer two different types of skills and skill sets. I think Brandt, his ability to create shots from seemingly non-shooting opportunities, like we saw in the Barcelona game. I mean, there was really not many players in the league have business taking a shot from where he took the shot. And the fact that it just barely bounced off the bar and out, you know, that one, I think that just shows you that, like, he's got a lot of potential and he's got a lot of power offensively that he brings to the table for Dortmund. So that's good. And then on the other hand, you've got Hazard, who's more, I think he's better at working in small spaces and dribbling around players. You know, he's more of a technical player, I think, than a speedster. Not that he's slow, but I think Brandt offers a lot more speed than Hazard does. But I think Hazard offers a lot more, you know, technical ability, and he complements Jadon Sancho's style well. But I also think that Brandt kind of like amplifies Jadon Sancho when he's on the field, because then you've got two very pacey players. So depending on the situations, I think both players have a lot to offer between those two additions.
And we definitely looked good defensively for the two games, especially when we had a player like Thomas Delaney who had a great week.
Yeah, I thought it was rather disappointing that they gave him a yellow card for that foul early in the first half against Barcelona. At the time that it happened, I was concerned that it was going to take him physically out of the game, because when you're already working with a yellow, it's very, you know, you got to be very cautious and very careful about your future challenges. But I think after that, he was still very good about keeping himself in the game physically and mentally. He didn't let it like affect his play. He still played his brand of football and he played it very well. You know, he still had a physical presence out there. And I think as the game went on, There were some good challenges from Delaney and Witzel, both in the midfield. I think the two of them, they set the tone, I think, for opposing teams when they're trying to move the ball into our defensive third of the pitch. You know, they commit fouls, but not like bad fouls. They commit smart fouls and they commit good fouls that are more so designed to like send a message and say, hey, if you want to take the ball into this area of the pitch, you guys have to deal with us, and we're not going to be friendly. Like, we're here and we're physical, so be ready to battle with us. And I like that they're sending that message, because I think it kind of puts fear in the eyes and the minds of the opposition.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. And you talked as well about Mats Hummels, and seeing that he was a key player. I think he was, in my opinion, he was man of the match of that game against Barcelona, in the way he played, in the way he like made his tackles in the box. All his tackles were really key. Like, when you play against a player like Suarez, you know.
Oh yeah, like Suarez especially. I think there was a statistic that the broadcast aired that said Suarez hasn't scored an away goal in the Champions League since like 2015. And I really did not want to see him break that streak at Dortmund. And I think Hummels had a lot to do with it. You know, Suarez is not only a skilled player, but he's a relatively like physical player too. He's not afraid to get himself into scrappy matches, you know, with the center backs that he's up against. And I think against Dortmund, he didn't really have anything going for him. Like, he didn't get the opportunities he needs to score. And then when Messi came on later in the game too, even if it wasn't Mats Hummels making the defensive play, it was one of the other back defenders or one of the midfielders. There was just, you could tell that Barcelona looked better with Messi on the pitch, but I was still very impressed with, even after how Messi looked on the pitch, with how Dortmund performed while Messi was on the pitch. You know, they were able to deny him the ball in scoring areas, and they were able to keep him away from scoring opportunities. And they were able to get to the ball quickly and keep Barcelona from playing their game. And I thought that, admittedly, you would have liked to see a win, but I think in a draw with Barcelona, when we play the way we did, you have to walk out of there and think that we looked like the better team, and that take it more so as a positive than a disappointment. Like, yes, it's disappointing that we couldn't get the 3 points that we felt we may have deserved, but at the same time, there are a lot of things you have to do to beat Barcelona and to play well against them. And I think to see how we played against them the other day and to walk out of there with a draw feeling like we were the better team, I think that's a big confidence boost moving forward. And I think it shows that we could be very successful in at least the group of death, and potentially down the line in the Champions League and in the Bundesliga as well.
Yeah, especially with the many surprises that are happening in this season's Champions League, like when Liverpool loses to Napoli, and when Paris Saint-Germain beats Real Madrid 3-0, you know.
Yeah.
And Inter is drew to the other team from Czech Republic. You know,
yeah.
these are surprises that are happening. We deserved the win in that game, and I don't know I have issues with Marco Reus right now. Like,
he cannot be missing penalty kicks.
Yeah,
He
cannot be missing a penalty kick. He cannot be missing some opportunities that he missed. He doesn't miss these opportunities in the box, but he wasn't like in his day, you know.
Yeah, he looked a little not he didn't look out of form, but he just looked a little disconnected from the game at times. Not that he played poorly or that he didn't play well, but that you know what he's capable of. So to see him like just miss a couple of those opportunities that 9 times out of 10 he's going to score, it's like, it's frustrating, especially in a game against Barcelona where you're not going to get many of those opportunities. You hate that the 1 time out of 10 that he isn't able to convert is in the biggest game so far this season. But I think he'll come out of that little slump. I think he'll play all right moving forward. But I was actually surprised with how little Paco Alcacer saw the ball. Usually he's able to find himself with the ball in a lot of space around the box, but I think Barcelona, to their credit, did a good job of denying him the ball in scoring areas, and they really forced us to try and find different ways to get in the box and around the goal. And that's where Marco Reus had more opportunities probably than he normally does in a game, and to see him not be able to convert on any of those, it's kind of frustrating, especially with the penalty kick, because he's probably one of the best penalty kick takers in Germany, potentially in Europe, and he normally is not going to miss from the penalty spot. So to see him denied by Ter Stegen, his German goalkeeper. It was definitely a little discouraging, but hopefully he can get past that.
Yeah. And Paco Alcácer, that dude, he saw some crazy shit in that game. Like that tackle, that collision between Roman Bürki and as I like to call him, Palm Tree PK.
Yeah.
Dude, like that was scary.
Yeah, and that was a scary moment for everyone, I think, you know, to see Paco, because I mean, Paco couldn't do anything there. He's stuck in a spot where he's trying to play the ball, and Bürki obviously is coming out full speed and clearing the ball no matter what or who is in his way. And Paco just kind of got caught in between PK and Bürki, and then Bürki just came and I mean, he cleared the ball well, but he also in the process just completely obliterated Paco. And there were a few moments, I think there was a few moments after that where everyone was a little nervous, like, is Paco going to be okay? Because when it's one thing to, you know, get your foot stepped on and or get like kicked in the shin, like those things hurt and they're not pleasant, but those are just like bruises that go away. To see him get up and like holding his head, that was kind of concerning.
Yeah.
Because like a head injury is much different in nature than any other type of injury, and it has to be, you know, you have to approach it with a different type of caution, because you may not have like visible signs of pain or like of injury, or you know, you may not feel like your head hurts a lot, but there's stuff that can be going on in the brain, especially with concussions. It's, you just always got to be careful about those.
These are
so
very,
I'm glad to see
he
was okay, though. I am glad to see that he was okay, because that was very scary.
Yeah, these are very, very dangerous like injuries if you get a head injury. And as you say, that you cannot really know that you are injured, and then with the adrenaline, you know,
yeah,
you feel like you're okay, you feel like you can walk, but then your feet do not keep you standing up anymore. Some people died on the pitch from these injuries. Very difficult. And I think Sancho got an injury from that game as well, because I read somewhere that his foot wouldn't, after the game, his foot wouldn't fit in his shoes, because his foot were like so swollen because of some tackles from Semedo, and because of his skills, you know, the Barcelona players, they weren't as patient with him as other teams. No, and we see him like we consider Sancho to be the most non-injury prone player right now, and he doesn't get injured. He gets kicked a lot, like in all the games, but this time I think he's got something. I hope it's not serious. I hope he's gonna be there for Frankfurt on Sunday.
Yeah,
because he's such a key player. Yeah.
He took quite a beating this past weekend, actually. I was watching the match, I was a little nervous about, you know, how other teams are going to see that. You know, if they see, like, okay, you know, if we can disrupt Jadon Sancho by playing a little more physical with him than normal, and if we can get in his head, you know, if we can bruise him up a little without getting a red card, we can really limit Dortmund's abilities. And I don't think that's necessarily the case, but I mean, it's bound to happen, but I hate to think about seeing teams start to get a little more physical and aggressive with Sancho, just because I know how valuable he is for Dortmund, and I'd hate to see him go down to an injury on a cheap shot or something like that. But it looked, I mean, there was one tackle where I think it was Griezmann came from behind Sancho, and Sancho jumped right over him, but it was a tackle where Griezmann was not playing the ball. It was just like the most obvious attack on Sancho, like he wasn't playing the ball or anything, and that's where I started to get a little concerned. I was like, all right, Sancho's got to be careful, because at some point in one of these games, if people are coming at him like Griezmann just did, he's gonna get tackled from behind, and he could get hurt pretty badly in those situations. So those are things we got to look out for, and we got to hope that he can be protected from.
Yeah, that's a red card. And I was also surprised, because I didn't know that VAR was used early in the competition. We talked about that. I was like, no, VAR is not used. But then yesterday I watched some parts of the Real Madrid and the Juventus and Atletico Madrid games, and they used VAR. So I was like wondering why didn't like use VAR against the penalty kick to
Yeah,
spot like Ter Stegen.
it was interesting because Ter Stegen, if you look watching the replay, you could see he was well off his line when Royce struck the ball. And I know that's, I mean, that's something that most goalkeepers are probably doing on most penalty kicks. But when they've got a rule in place because they want that to stop, you know, they bring in the rule where it says VAR can look at that. And if you did that, they're going to retake the penalty kick and the goalie will be awarded a yellow card. To me, if they're going to have that rule, they need to enforce it. And for the VAR not to enforce it against Barcelona when Royce's free kick was saved, or Royce's penalty kick was saved, that's kind of disappointing, because why have that system and that rule in place if you're not going to enforce it and use it? And that's not to say that Royce missing was only because Ter Stegen left his line. I think whether or not Ter Stegen leaves his line, he guessed correctly on the PK and he saved the shot. And Royce still needs to hit the penalty kick in the end. And that wasn't our only opportunity in the game. But just as a side note, it is disappointing to see that they didn't, you know, look at it with the VAR, and that there was no protest, no anything. Like, it was just very, the play just continued. And it's, I don't know, that was interesting that the announcers on the TV broadcast were the first to notice it. You know, they were talking about it just right after it happened. They're watching the replay. They were like, oh, wow, he very clearly left his line. I'm sure we'll see this go to VAR. And then 2 minutes later, it still hadn't gone to VAR. And they were like, well, I guess the VAR in the booth did not catch that, or they missed it, or I don't know what happened, but that should have been a retake. And then the game continued. And I mean, Ter Stegen still made the save, but it's, I don't know. It's frustrating that Royce missed it. And it's also frustrating that there was no enforcement of the rules when it comes to keeping your line with the VAR now able to review that and everything. So I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's safe to say that Barcelona was saved by Ter Stegen in that game, because
100%, 100%.
Because they weren't that good. We were up there, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that we can make more out of such opportunities with the upcoming games against other teams, because we're playing next the Slavia Praha team, and then after that we're gonna play Inter. So these are we must get 3 points out of these two games, like not six
yeah.
points out of these two games, because that's the most important thing. If we get 6 points out of these two games, we can go further. And we can be confident to play Barcelona in the Camp Nou, and
yeah.
we can be confident to go, you know, go through the group stage and go with confidence to the knockout stages.
Yeah, I think it'd be huge for us to win both of those next upcoming matches. And like you said, the confidence would be monumental, because it's not like sometimes it's not just about, you know, advancing to the next stage. It's about like earning the next stage. And I think there's something to be said about the mindset that the team would have if they had the confidence to say, you know, we won with conviction, and we like earned our spot in the upcoming stage. We didn't get lucky, you know, we went out and we won the points we needed to win. We got those 6 points on against Slavia Prague, and then Inter, and then, you know, go out and either draw or potentially fight for a win in Barcelona. Like, I think it'd be huge for the team's mindset and their mental approach to be able to go into the next stage of the Champions League with confidence, more so than just saying, wow, we're happy to be here. Like, we earned our spot to be here. Let's go finish what we started type mentality, I think, would be the best.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, so next week we are playing Frankfurt, and
yep.
we are playing an away game. It's gonna be a tough game.
Frankfurt's a tough place. They're never a bad team. They're never a bad squad, and they like to cause problems for Dortmund. They have in the past, at least. But I think it's a great it's another great opportunity for us to go and get 3 points in an away match, where last year we may not have gotten 3 points.
Yeah, yeah, and the confidence that comes with it. Frankfurt is a good team. they're not as good as last year because they lost some key players in the transfer window. They lost their goal scorer Luka Jovic, but yeah, they're still a very respectable team. I guess that, as you said, it's a good opportunity to go out there, get additional 3 points, maybe get to the top position if Leipzig draws or loses their game. I don't know who are they playing in Leipzig. I'm going to look it up right now.
I think they've got
Werder Bremen.
They play Bremen. Yeah.
So Werder Bremen. And Werder Bremen are playing at home. I think they might lose to Werder Bremen at home. If they do that and we win, we're going to get back, you know, on the pole
back
position.
Back to the top of the table. Yeah.
Yeah, where we belong, of course. And maybe Bayern Munich would like lose a game.
Maybe they're playing Köln, so it's possible. Köln's they're a dark horse. They always cause problems.
Yeah,
they're not a good team. Bayern should beat them, but
yeah, Bayern seem to have like a very easy, like a set of games coming up. They play in Köln, yeah. They can play in Paderborn, Hoffenheim, Augsburg, Union Berlin, and then, you know, like they have easy games, and we have to be careful in these games because we need to get there. You know, we need to win all the games from now on if we want to be competing in the Bundesliga. I think we have what it takes. With that squad that played against Leverkusen and that played on Tuesday against FC Barcelona, you see a squad that is very complete, you know. A squad that can advance in the Champions League. A squad that can compete again for the Bundesliga. We have the best team. And we have even more confidence in the back. With Mats Hummels, he's getting in his rhythm. With Akanji as well, with Hakimi, with, you know, Guerrero is playing great games, lately, and he's been one of the key players he is more of an attacker than a defender.
Yeah,
he is very fast, and he played a very good game against Barcelona, and I would love to see more of him on like playing in the future games. Delaney is a very key player. Is a player who can he can hold the midfield. He can do the important tackles. He is like the workhouse, you know, the player you depend on to play box to box, the player you depend on to make these very aggressive tackles on these very, you know, on attackers, on strikers, in order to intimidate, you know, the opposition. Witzel is a great player as well in the fact that he's very calm on the ball. He can distribute the ball very well. I think Marco Reus is going to get back into his groove.
Yeah, definitely.
We have back Alcacer. We have one of the best strikers in the world right now. We have Sancho, who is one of the best youngsters in the world. We have Brandt. We have the choice between Brandt, between Godze. We didn't see Godze that much this season, but we have a choice between Brandt, Godze, Hazard in that left position or in the central playing roles. I guess that this is just the beginning, and we really need to focus on building that team that can compete. We are early on. We are learning from our mistakes. But I don't think that we are going to make the same mistakes. And I don't think that we must, like we have, we don't have to change a lot. We just have to tweak some things like finishing. Finishing the, you know, we are finishers. Like we score so many goals, but we need to finish more critical chances. And the amount of chances that we didn't finish against Barcelona are huge, and these chances can be like, you know, can be like a deal breaker later on. This is just the group stage. You can win points, you move on. But in the knockout stage, you really need to score. You really need to score early on. And that's exactly what we need to do. And then, that and I think also that in the goalkeeper position, we are having so much confidence with Berkey. He's going back into his, like, he wasn't challenged that much, you know. But he's, you know, he's coming back to his flow, his groove as well.
And yeah,
he is, yes. And if we win the game against Frankfurt and then we win the Champions League tie against Slavia Prague, we'll be set for, like, a good start, you know, a solid start.
Yeah, I think so. I think that'd be fantastic. I think it'd be great for the morale of the team. I think that gets us over kind of like the mental barrier, because I think right now there's a lot of questions. You know, Dortmund look really good, but are they actually that good, or are they getting lucky? And I think if we can go out and beat Frankfurt, you know, go beat Slavia Prague and then get good points out of Inter, I think that, I mean, after drawing Barcelona and beating Leverkusen the way we did, I think that would very clearly suggest that we really are a good team this year. And I think it would be great for the team's mentality as well, because I think they think they're a good team. I just think they haven't quite put it all together yet. Like you said, just a couple minor tweaks and things really could start to pick up some strong positive momentum that's already been building too.
So how do you predict the game against Frankfurt? Who do you think is going to score? What's going to be the score line?
I think Brandt will get a goal. I think...
I want to see Hummels get a goal. I want to see Hummels get a goal too.
I'd like to see that too. He almost had one this past weekend. Yeah. Or not this past weekend, but against Barcelona. He had the header on the near post from the corner. It was a great play. It's just a very tough goal to score from the angle he had, and he couldn't quite keep it under control. But I like seeing that he got himself into that opportunity and that we're willing to use him on set pieces, because he is a huge aerial threat with his head. I think Dortmund win that one. I'm going to give us another clean sheet, 3-0.
That's nice. That's confident. 3-0 is my prediction as well. But if you can win like 5-0,
maybe 6-0, just
5
fun.
Or 6, yeah. If we can like 5 or 6 in the Commerzbank Arena and like put that statement out there that we are the strongest team in the Bundesliga, in that we are a threatening team, that would be awesome as well.
It would, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. So yeah, we will end it here, and yeah, we wish the team good luck. We wish to see like the team play very well. We wish to see the players without injuries.
Yes.
And yeah, like that's that.
All right.
Yeah. So thanks, Ryan.
No problem. And thank you.
Talk to you guys in the next one.